Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, noted gaming attorney Sean McGinnis joins us. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Nancy Gusson and Vince Lombardi. It's all coming up next on All New Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Sean McGinnis. He's a partner now with Butler Snow. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Hey, good to be here, Sam.
So we were talking with A.G. Burnett, former head of the Gaming Control Board, last week, about Steve Wynn and his situation. And we developed a whole bunch of questions after that interview because it appears that even if you sell all your shares, resign your position with a company, that you are still under the control of the Nevada Gaming Commission and Nevada Gaming Control Board, as well as the other jurisdictions where you have been licensed, because it's not just one license. You can be licensed for a whole lot of things, and it's up to them whether they release you. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And really, it goes back to the genesis of how the Nevada Gaming Control Act was formed in the late 50s, and literally how all the other gaming acts in the different states have been formed. You have different categories. You have mandatory licensing, and typically to be in that category, you have to own shares or be an officer, director, et cetera. But there's also discretionary licensing. And discretionary licensing and discretionary jurisdiction, typically when we think about it now, it extends to the banks, you know, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, et cetera. They never get called forward because the banks are regulated and people know, you know, the regulators know who they are. But in the grand scheme of things, it used to be used back in the day as a way to sort of have jurisdiction over individuals that maybe weren't in the mandatory setting. So I did see what AG was talking about. He's right about the surrendering of the license. But even, I think, if Wynn surrendered a license, he still would fall under discretionary licensing or discretionary jurisdiction of these gaming authorities. And the other thing that you have is you have the actions that are in question took place while he was in the mandatory licensing setting. So ostensibly, the gaming jurisdictions would have jurisdiction over him for what he may or may have done at that time. Because you wouldn't want a scenario where someone had a license, did something, committed a regulatory violation, and then just says, oh, I'm resigning and selling my shares, you can't do anything to me. That doesn't work with how the gaming acts work.
And it seems like this is like the CIA and the mafia, that you never get out.
Well, there's no escaping. I mean, you know, they always, the joke among gaming lawyers is that it's that the Gaming Control Act is like a full employment act for lawyers and accountants. But it is a little bit like that. I mean, once you're in that, it's a privileged license. It's, you know, you're in that space, and when you're in their jurisdiction, you're in their jurisdiction. And that's pretty much where he finds himself.
Okay, and so, and it's not just in Nevada. He's facing this in Massachusetts. He's facing the same thing in Macau.
Correct. Well, Massachusetts, definitely. Macau is a little bit of a different animal because I believe, you know, the company, there's a separate public company there, and there's other things happening there with Galaxy coming in. But, yeah, he's definitely dealing with the Massachusetts Gaming Commission. And it's interesting. You can actually watch their meetings online, which you can't do with the Nevada meetings.
Sean, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Regulation 5 of the statutes that cover Nevada gaming. In it, it talks about actions of licensees dealing with moral health, safety and of the industry, you know, issues that can cause disrepute not only to the gaming industry but to the state of Nevada. Saying that, now Steve Wynn is under investigation in two states for sexual harassment and other sexual things that he should not have been doing while he was the CEO and chairman of Wynn Resorts. Right now, the biggest fine in Nevada gaming history is $5.5 million against Cantor Gaming. But when you look at Regulation 5 and you look at the moral health of the industry and what this huge amount of publicity has done to Nevada gaming, do you think that a fine against Steve Wynn or Wynn Resorts could equal or even surpass the $5.5 million levied against Cantor Gaming?
Well, I mean, that's kind of hard to say unless you know all the facts. I mean, there's things that both the Gaming Control Board in Nevada and the Massachusetts Gaming Commission are looking at, you know, that probably are things that aren't in the public domain. So it's kind of hard to conjecture. Theoretically, is that possible? Yeah, theoretically, it is possible that this could be something where you could have record fines, you could have disciplinary action against the company, depending upon what the company should have knew and should have done. Could be against Mr. Wynn. You're just going to be different to sort of see how it plays out. I mean, really, a lot of the regs that are written were really written and drafted in a context of an earlier era. And maybe it's good to sort of think back on that, like the movie Casino, for example, what happened in Nevada, you know, with the Stardust and Lefty Rosenthal. A lot of people forget that Lefty Rosenthal was not in a mandatory licensing position. He was like the entertainment director.
Right. And the gaming, even though he was running the joint.
Right, and that's exactly what happened. And when the Gaming Control Board got wind that he was actually really running the Stardust, that's when he was compelled. You now discretionarily have to file. You have to go through our process. And they start doing the investigation. And, of course, that was probably even a more extreme example because the Gaming Commission actually went in and kicked the ownership out, had a supervisor set in place, and then they brought Boyd Gaming in. So that was totally changing the ownership of it. But it shows the level of the power of a gaming commission to effectuate, you know, what it needs to do to keep the integrity of the operations and the public trust and confidence in it. Now, in the Lefty Rosenthal instance, it was more of a, you know, a mafia-type scenario. But you can still throw that type of same logic to what's happening now. And all the other jurisdictions pretty much have the same authority as well. May not be written exactly the same way, but they have the same ability.
And what was interesting about the Lefty Rosenthal thing, because this was going on when I first came to Nevada in the late 70s, he actually had a television show
right. On
KLAS, and where he would attack the Gaming Commission and the Gaming Control Board for what he perceived as, you know, their attacks on him. I mean, that was an outrageous time.
Yeah, maybe not the best course of action for him. I don't think it helped much. But he ended up being the seminal case of gaming law is State v. Rosenthal. And that's when he appealed his denial from the commission up to the Ninth Circuit. And the Ninth Circuit ruled that you couldn't appeal a ruling from the Nevada Gaming Commission.
All right, let's take a break. More with Sean McGinnis when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah. How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. We can save you money and add comfort and value to your home. To find out how, check out our new website. If you visit the site before June, you could win $1,000 cash in a random drawing. Just enter your name, Nevada zip code, and email, and you could be the lucky winner. Go to homeenergyexperts.com. That's homeenergyexperts.com. Must be 18 or older. The drawing will be held June 1st.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sean McGinnis. He is a partner with Butler Snow.
Sean, recently, like late last week, Elaine Wynn, who is now the top shareholder of Wynn Resorts, said in a letter to shareholders that she believes some board directors, current board directors, could be implicated by the Massachusetts Gaming Commission's investigation into sexual harassment within the company, maybe looking the other way while Mr. Wynn did what he did. What do you think about the chance of being implicated, not only members of the board being implicated, not only in Massachusetts, but also in Nevada?
Well, I'm sure that's part of what both the Gaming Control Board and the Massachusetts Commissioner are looking at, is not just Mr. Wynn's alleged behavior, but also what did the other members of the board of directors, what did other officers of Wynn Resorts know about his activities? And if they knew something about it and didn't take appropriate action, then you could see that that could be something that could implicate other individuals into this.
Okay. Mrs. Wynn also is warned, according to published reports, that Wynn Resorts management could move to sell their Encore Boston Harbor stock in a bid to escape a negative finding from that state's gaming control regulators. What do you think about Mrs. Wynn's warning about this?
Well, I mean, there actually, a lot of people don't realize this, but the gaming regulators all kind of communicate with one another.
Yeah.
There's an organization called the International Association of Gaming Regulators, and it was formed 20-some years ago, and it basically encompasses all membership from all the commercial jurisdictions, a lot of tribal jurisdictions, international jurisdictions, and they have a conference every year, and they regularly meet. And also, you know, the different jurisdictions have memoranda of understanding between one another. So just because you're dealing with one jurisdiction doesn't mean you're going to escape the scrutiny of another jurisdiction that you're in. So I don't know if selling anything in Massachusetts really absolves you of anything. I mean, there was an instance, you know, I know back in the late 90s, there was a multi-jurisdictional licensee, not related to Wynn, but who had had casinos in four jurisdictions, had some issues in one of them, and didn't get disciplined in that jurisdiction, but another jurisdiction heard about it and disciplined that company. So, I mean, if you look at that, and, you know, I don't think that necessarily gets them off the hook in Nevada.
And it was interesting, you know, with MGM a few years ago having to give up their half of the Borgata because the commission in New Jersey was not comfortable with Pansy Ho being a major shareholder, and yet nothing happened in Nevada.
Correct. And at the end of the day, MGM was actually able to go through the process in New Jersey and buy out Boyd's other half of Borgata, and they basically now are fully licensed in New Jersey again.
And Pansy Ho is
right, and it's still part,
but a much smaller percentage.
Right.
When game control agents interview you, is it kind of like the special counsel or the FBI, where they rarely ask a question they don't already know the answer to?
Well, there's an element of that. It really is a law enforcement type investigation, and they're all kind of the same, whether it's Nevada or other jurisdictions. And I practice gaming law in other states as well, so I'm familiar with Mississippi, Colorado, Iowa,
right.
And I've had exposure to other gaming investigators as they do their inquiry. And really, it always is very formal. It's a very law enforcement type interview, very formal, usually. In a gaming application setting, you're going through the gaming application that was submitted and the materials and verifying that it was accurate. In this type of setting, it's more of an investigative hearing. I've sat through a couple of those as well in the past with some clients. And it is a little bit like what you were describing. I mean, they tend to know the answers, and you know, it's much more law enforcement oriented in that setting. And I would expect that's probably the type of dialogue that's happening between Mr. Wynn and Wynn Resorts and Massachusetts and Nevada.
Do you think that in the end that this is going to result in a change in case law that will move forward, that you know it'll be referred back to in history, as it were?
What do you mean by case law?
Well, just you know the circumstances of Mr. Wynn. Here's somebody who had been a legendary owner and creator in Nevada and around the world. And his downfall, and all the things that are going to come out of this, whether it's you know his personal stature, the legacy board stature, who knew what when, that you're going to end up with a whole new set of standards that are going to come out of the commission and the Gaming Control Board that will be referred to in future cases.
Well, it could be. I guess it could be viewed that way. I think it's a little bit of a unique situation with the way Wynn Resorts is set up, because you know a lot of companies, you know, like Steve Wynn is the brand, and that's what really hits this really home for them. And they're taking some good steps in Massachusetts by rebranding that property an Encore instead of a Wynn. So you can see that management is moving forward in the best interest of the company and how to move things forward. But I think you're right. This does sort of bring to light, you know, a whole other set of questions that you could see that the Nevada Gaming Control Board agents might ask about, or other agents may ask about. You see it, for example, with in the Nevada supplement to the multi-jurisdictional form that always gets updated when they have an issue. So now they had some issues with applicants not disclosing all their cell phones and personal devices and computers. So now there's a question about, tell us all these numbers, tell us what you have. There also is the questions about the involvement in the marijuana industry. I suppose you could see this moving towards, you know, some questions along those lines.
And that's where we have to leave it. Fascinating topic. Please come back soon.
Yep, we'll do. Thanks.
And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features, and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't going to let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, delighted to welcome to the program Nancy Gustin. She's a board member for the Nevada Center for Biomedical Research, and Dr. Vince Lombardi, who's been on here many times, Director of Research at the Nevada Center for Biomedical Research. Coming up is ME-CFS Day. And so let's start out, Vince, and explain what that is.
Well, it's basically an awareness of ME-CFS as a disease.
Which is?
Which is myelogenic encephalomyelitis. So previously known as chronic fatigue syndrome. There's kind of a movement to get away from the name chronic fatigue syndrome because really ME-CFS is not a syndrome, it's a real disease. And that's part of the awareness, is try to emphasize the fact that this is a very devastating disease and it really is a disease.
And in recent years, how much progress has there been in the research for us to get closer to understanding it, let alone coming up with some kind of cure?
Well, there's been a lot of obstacles in research funding just for the fact that the disease had kind of a negative name, and that's been hard to overcome. But we are making some progress. There's been a number of studies that have been done that support the fact that it is a real disease with an organic basis, and the fact that the disease has, I mean, in my opinion, an immune component and an inflammatory component. So these are real morphological things that really define the ME as a disease. And it's kind of a heterogeneous disease, so it's not really like one definitive cause, but there are, I think, important subgroups which can be used to define that particular subgroup. But the take-home message is the fact that there really is an organic basis to this disease, that at least we have a target now. And fortunately, there's a lot more interest in the disease. The NIH is putting more funding into the disease. It's still not quite enough, but you know, we've made really significant progress in that respect.
Nancy, you've got a very personal reason for being involved.
I do. My daughter, for probably about half her life now, 12 years, has, and I work with this word suffer, but suffers with ME-CFS, and thankfully she's in a, you know, not a bad place right now. And I became involved years ago, acquainted, and then I got to know better Annette Whittemore because of our common stories with daughters. And about maybe 4 years ago now, became a member of the board. I'm proud of it.
Let me ask you this. How does the disease manifest itself within your family?
Sam, it's been a long road, and as I said, it's been about half of her life. And early on, we thought it was a bad flu. We thought it was any number of things of a child coming into adolescence, but it didn't go away, and it was very bad. So early on, it was. And I'll have to tell you, it's even being on the board and becoming easier about talking about this, it's been difficult. And I always check with my daughter to make sure it's okay with her, because it's her life. She's 24 now. She was 11 and 12 years old when this happened. So it was a rocky road, not just physically, but socially. You know, imagine going through middle school and high school with this. But she was pretty much bedridden for some time. She is at a better place now, where she could manage some limitations and lives a pretty good life as long as she manages her daily allotment of energy.
Vince, is this typical of patients?
Yeah, there's, if you look at the people who have that one defining event when they came down with the disease, probably most of them would define like a flu-like illness that they just never recovered from. So if you really want to put it in context, imagine when you get a really bad flu and you just don't get better. I mean, you get a little bit better maybe over the long term, but people can really appreciate the fact that how bad you really feel when you have a bad case of the flu, and just imagine never getting over that.
And I should also put out there that I'm a member of the board as well and have been for many years. My wife has suffered for this. And one of the things is that you can have, you know, muscle pain or aches and pains in a certain area of the body, and my wife can pretty much count off how long that's going to be there before it moves off to the next place in her body. And, you know, it's a cycle that repeats itself over and over again.
Sure, absolutely. There's a couple of real common denominators for ME/CFS. The one big one is neurocognitive dysfunction. You can define that as things like brain fog, difficulty thinking. Right. Most of the people who suffer from the disease have severe exercise intolerance. Whereas the average person will exercise and feel better, people who have ME, when they exercise, they pretty much crash. And sometimes if the exercise is severe enough, they can be bedridden because of that for a week or two. There is a more of a spectrum of other diseases. A lot of people with ME have gastrointestinal problems, kind of neuropathic pain, and other issues of having difficulty controlling infections. A lot of the infections that most people have no problem dealing with, people with ME have a difficult time dealing with. And so those are the real big definers of the disease.
And at this point, how optimistic are you that we're going to find something that will help people, if not cure it, within, say, the next decade?
Well, I think that now that we're really starting to narrow down some of the inflammatory markers of the disease, at least it gives us therapeutic targets. So that's a really important thing. If you want to get a drug company interested in this disease, they really have to have a target. That's one of the things we're working on, is we're looking at, instead of completely defining the disease and then coming up with a target, we're looking at existing drugs that are being used for diseases that have overlapping symptomology and trying to make a case that they may be effective to help this patient population.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you both very much. We really appreciate
Thank you, Sam.
And pleasure. We'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Our next broadcast, Assemblywoman Jill Tolles. We'll see you next.